Hello and welcome to episode 126 of the Mad Happy Podcast. This is Phineas. Another greatest hits episode today. My question for you is, did you listen to the Cody Ko episode when it aired? This was one of our favorite episodes. You probably know Cody for his humor across many platforms. He is one of YouTube's favorites and has built quite a brand primarily focused on making us laugh. This is a different Cody. He's vulnerable and open in ways that I've never heard him on any other platform. I think you're really going to enjoy it if you have not listened to it already. And if you already have, a re-listen on this one especially is worthwhile. So without further ado, the Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Cody Ko.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm joined today by my friend Cody. Cody, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Getting ready for this episode, I will say, like, it's been super interesting. I feel like we've had a bunch of content creators on the show, and I think you've had somewhat of a unique path. Curious if you want to give a little background on, like, where you grew up, like your family, some of the early days of Cody.
Sure. I also want to apologize before we get started. I'm like training for this race right now, and this morning I did a super long training run, and so right now I feel like I'm gonna puke and die. And so I'm not as sprightly as I usually am, I feel like, at this hour.
No worries, all good.
So I just want to apologize for if I'm low energy, but it might be better, honestly.
How long was the run?
It was a long one. It was like 2.5 hours, and just was, the whole thing was hell. Just like, it wasn't like rested enough, and just like, ugh, it was hell.
Yeah. What kind of race are you doing?
It's like a technically an ultra marathon, but it's in the mountains, so it's like a hike at the same time.
Wow.
It's 60 kilometers, which is like 36 miles, but with 9,000 feet of elevation gain. Wow. So, and it's just up and down and up and down and up and down. So it's like you can't only train running; you have to also train hiking too, to get your knees used to like the pounding of the downhills. So it's just fucking intense. I didn't give myself a ton of time to train, so I kind of underestimated the whole thing, and I'm paying for it.
When's the race?
It's August.
Wow, it's coming up.
Yeah. I know.
All right, well, all good. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, which is in Canada. And I grew up like outside of the city, and honestly, like, had a great childhood. Pretty ideal, honestly. My parents are both like really inspiring people. That, you know, we grew up being super active, bike trips, hike trips. That's why I'm into that stuff now. So I always had, you know, two people to look to in terms of making goals, sticking to them, you know, striving for greatness, I guess. So yeah, I mean, like, great childhood. When I was, I started diving competitively, like springboard diving, when I was 10, just because a friend was just like, you want to do this with me? And I was like, it sounds kind of lame, but yeah, I guess I'll try it. And ended up falling in love with it, became competitive, and was able to, I switched schools when I was in the 10th grade. To a sports school, which is basically, in Calgary, it was designed for like people who alpine ski, because they would go to Europe all summer or all winter, basically. Yeah. So they had to do like school online, and like online high school didn't really exist then. So this school was kind of pioneering that. So it started for skiers, and then it kind of became for hockey players and for like everyone, wrestlers. There's a bunch of swimmers there, and it's basically for kids that, you know, had to do two-a-days and miss a bunch of classes in the morning. It was kind of like a hybrid online and real-life school. So I switched to that school so that I could dive during the days and then also in the evenings, and just was basically super committed to that, was less committed to school, was really just like focused on athletics, because I knew if I was decent at it that I could go to college in the States, which is what I ultimately wanted to do. Wanted to get into a good school in the States, and I would have never done it on academics. I had no extracurricular activities. besides diving.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is my ticket. So I did pretty well. Like, I was, like, above average. I never, you know, I was, like, I went to Olympic trials in 2008. I think I placed, like, 10th or something. So, like, not crazy, but the fact that I was able to make it there definitely means I was good enough to make it onto some team.
Yeah. Was it, like, your parents trying to, like, push you towards that direction? Or was it just, like, all from you of, like, I know this is, like, my way to getting to the States, going to a good school, all that?
My parents one time, I don't know why I still remember this. I don't even know if they really said it, but I had in my mind the thought that they told me one time that they weren't going to pay for my college. They were like, you're going to have to get into a college and you're going to have to get a scholarship. For some reason, that really motivated me and drove me to want to achieve that. I don't even know if it's true to this day. I don't know if they ever said that to me, but for some reason, I vividly remember thinking that and making that a goal in my mind. So it really wasn't that hard for them to motivate me. Diving was also, you know, it was like my family, the team that I was on. It was like I was best friends with all of them. My coach was amazing. You know, we're spending, you know, at least 5 hours a day together training. Like, you know, when you're waking up in the morning and it's minus 40 degrees outside and you go to the pool and you have to do your hardest dives and your body is stiff because it's so fucking cold and you just came out, your hair's like, your nostrils are freezing and you got to go do a gainer 3.5 or whatever, you know, you become so close with the people that you're suffering with, I guess, you know? So it was like my best friends, my family. So it was easy to be committed to diving. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. And did you have siblings?
Yeah, sister.
Older or younger?
Younger. We're like pretty close in age though.
That's a funny experience that you said, like you don't even know if your parents actually said that. But like, were you thinking about what was after diving, after college? Like, did you already have an idea of that or just wait and see what happens?
I had no idea. I was like, yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I just was kind of taking it goal by goal, I guess. And my goal then was to get into college. I knew, like, if I got into a good school and went to the States, you know, that would be, a completely different experience from what the people around me were getting. And that's something I valued back then, too. It's just, I like change. I always have. I like trying new things. You know, I can't stick to doing the same old thing for too long. I go fucking insane. I have to be doing something new, trying something new. I have to be like somewhere on the learning curve in something to be happy. And I think back then that was a big part of that goal too, is like, I want to go, I want to experience living in the South or somewhere in the States, you know? It ultimately became the South, but that's because I wanted the culture shock.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be in a, you know, US like college movie that I used to watch all the time, you know, that like doesn't exist in Canada, like the frat culture and beer pong and like all that shit.
Was the reason to like do something like different than like what everyone was doing like in your hometown, or was it just like your passion to just like do new things, experience?
I mean, it's definitely part of it, like wanted to do something different or even, you know, quote unquote better.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it feels shitty to say that, but you know.
No, but like different things, yeah, drive people for sure.
We grew up with parents that are like incredibly achieved. Like my mom was doing Ironmans. My dad was breaking world records. And it's like, oh, fuck, I got to follow in these footsteps. So I have to shoot for the stars right now. You know, even though I'm only 16, 17, it's like I got to try and go to one of the best schools, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
For sure. No, I mean, I feel like that's pretty normal. It's not even weird to say. And before you went to college, like, do you consciously remember ever like struggling with like anything specifically, whether it was like, you know, like the stress of like, what if I don't make it or any of those types of things? Like when you think back to that time, does anything come to mind?
Yeah, there was a moment actually, I don't think I've ever talked about this, but there was a moment when I was 17 and I, you know, had to basically decide. I had gotten into Duke. I had been recruited there. I applied. I got recruited and I got my acceptance letter. So I knew that I could go to Duke. But I had a girlfriend at the time, and, you know, like back then, it's just like everything is the biggest deal ever. So I really wanted to, I really felt bad about like leaving my girlfriend, and she didn't like it that I was leaving. So there was a moment where like I almost stayed in Calgary and wow. went to university there instead. And I just knew in my gut, I was like, this is not the right decision. So eventually I, you know, made the right decision, but that was like tough, you know, like that was like, that matters a lot. Like that, you know, the relationships and back then, and I was something that I like really struggled with, but I've always like been, you know, all the way up to like 3 years ago, I've always been like an incredibly happy, optimistic person. I think as you get older, it definitely gets harder, and, you know, life becomes more, things become more real, and decisions become heavier, and the weight of things become heavier. And so, like, the last few years, I've struggled, but I'm finding my stride again. But that's just a long way of saying, like, I was pretty optimistic back then.
Yeah. And what do you think has changed now? Just like, obviously life becomes more real, but like too much, like feeling the pressure of it all, or, you know, what has made it like harder to feel that same way?
I mean, nowadays?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of things, and it's kind of too much for me to try to put into a couple sentences, but it's definitely the reason why I started therapy recently. And like, I finally got to a point where I was like, I just don't feel good. I'm like not happy. I'm not optimistic anymore. I'm like not excited for the future, which is a horrible feeling when the rest of your life before that you had been. And I think it's a combo of things. I think I, first of all, wasn't happy with myself. Making bad decisions, drinking way too much, not making goals, not striving towards anything. I wasn't hungry anymore for anything. You know, I just got kind of complacent. And I think that was in combo with the fact that, you know, I was in my 30s. I'm in my 30s now. And it's just like when you're in your 20s, it's like you have time.
Yeah.
I think like I want to achieve so much that, and that's what drives me. But when you're in your 20s, you always have that fail safe. That's like, oh, at least I have time. You know, if I fail at this, whatever, I have time. But now, you know, getting closer to having kids, and, you know, my time is becoming less and less, just like the time I have left on this earth and also the time I have left in my day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm committed to other things. I want to make sure my relationship is fruitful. I want to make sure I have a family, and that becomes a big part of my life too. So it's scary and like a little bit overwhelming that I'm like, fuck, I don't have a chance to do enough anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And that mix, I think that like is kind of like a, you know, then you use alcohol to kind of numb that feeling and that anxiety. And then that kind of just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where it just becomes this blanket that you continually use. And it just makes things worse, but you don't know that because it's just, it feels like it's making everything better.
Mm.
It feels like the solution when really it's the issue. It's the reason why you're not focused anymore. But it feels like, oh, this is the thing that's numbing me every day. So, you know, it's like it becomes your safety net when really it's like the reason why you're having all these issues in the first place.
For sure. And what do you feel like? I know we skipped a bunch, but like, what was like, I assume you didn't have these feelings when you were growing up, because I feel like I had somewhat of a similar experience where it's like I was very positive of everything, and I think I still am, but when things do become more real and you deal with like true challenges in your life that like only you can take on, like that's where like the pressure starts really building for the first time. And like everything else before is like, that wasn't even pressure. Like all the diving stuff, I'm sure now you think about that and you're like, that was a joke. Like it didn't even really matter.
Yeah.
What was like the first moment for you that you were like, oh shit, like this stuff's like really starting to like weigh on me, that, you know, that you could think back to?
It's a good question. It wasn't really, I don't think it was one moment, you know?
Yeah. But is it like you're making content, it's going well, you're starting to make money, then it happens? Or it's like you come out of college, you don't know what you're doing, you start feeling the pressure, you know, like, what was like the time period? Where were you at in your life?
I mean, I can say that when I was like 28, I think it was 28, I had my first panic attack. That kind of just unlocked this whole world of like anxieties and like, what the fuck is happening? This has never happened to me before. What is this?
Yeah.
That is like, yeah, it was a whole new world that I had never been exposed to before, of having to like worry about my mental health and figure out what's going on. And so that was kind of like a wake up call. And then I think what I'm realizing now is that the pandemic like affected me a lot more than I thought it did. For someone who makes content, I was blessed and lucky to be in one of the only industries that wasn't just not affected, but
Positively
affected by the right. pandemic. Like, the only thing that people had to do was sit around and watch YouTube. And the only thing that I had to do was to make YouTube videos. So I would just do that. And it was great. Everything went up. The views went up. My money went up. You know, we were locked inside and scared about everything. But, you know, career-wise, it was great. But I had way more time. And Kelsey and I at that point lived in like a, you know, a small apartment, so it just like I would just drink a lot. You know, there's like, you know, people that they say like the pandemic is like you either became like straight edge or you became an alcoholic. I definitely was closer to the latter, just like drinking like early, just like starting at like noon for no reason. Like, I'll do videos in the morning and be like, I have nothing else to do, fuck it, like this is, you know, like let's go for a walk and drink a beer. And I don't know, it just became like this weird sort of habit. And then I just kind of like lost my purpose and my hunger.
Yeah.
Because I got like a little bit comfortable. It's weird to say you got comfortable during a worldwide pandemic. I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, career-wise, it just, right before everything started, I was touring with Noel and we'd tour the world. We spent like 2 years on tour, being on stages in front of thousands of people and being on a tour bus and having that whole and just seeing Australia and New Zealand and Europe. And then all of a sudden we get back and it's like, boom, locked in a 1,000-square-foot apartment for 2 years, just making videos and figuring out what the next thing is. What is it? Is it to keep doing this, or is it? I'm seeing now that there's like this like 4 to 5 year like cycle in my life where I find something new, I really dedicate myself to it, really feel passionate about it, it makes me happy, and then I kind of get sick of it and want to move on to the next thing. And so it was like that with, you know, diving, and then it was college, and then it was my tech career, and then it became Vine, and then it became YouTube, and then it became podcasting and music, and then you know, now it's like I'm in that sort of like turbulent period where it just kind of feels like, you know, like throwing shit at the wall and figuring out what sticks, which is like a weird place to be mentally.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it just doesn't really feel like you can feel confident in anything. Like you haven't found a clear path. You're kind of just like bushwhacking, figuring out where to go.
Where were you when you were 28 and you had your first panic attack, both like career-wise, but actually like, what was the moment in which it happened?
I was in that same apartment that I was talking about. No, I was in an Uber, actually. But I woke up. We had gone out. I had like a, you know, like a gig, basically. I had like some work I had to do. I had to go to Six Flags and do some sort of brand deal. I don't know what it was, a picture, video or something. I forget what brand it was. But so we basically, and I had to be there at like 10 a.m. or something. So we had to be there at, or we had to leave at, you know, it's like an hour and a half away or something. So we had to leave at like 8:30. And we had gone out the night before, didn't get a lot of sleep, did not feel good in the morning. And, you know, I ordered like McDonald's before I left. Just horrible decision after horrible decision. And I ordered this gigantic iced coffee, like the vanilla one too. So it's just sugar and caffeine and fucking heavy cream, you know? Yeah. And I was slamming it, thinking that it was gonna be the answer to my problems. Like, I'm gonna drink this in the Uber and feel better on this 90-minute journey to Six Flags. And so we're cruising down the 405, and it's like, you know, the 405 is like not, it's not a pleasant road by any means. And we're bumping, and, you know, it's just like bumper-to-bumper traffic. And every time we move, we're driving through potholes, and I'm just like thinking about how much time we have left in front of us before we even get to this thing that I'm dreading in itself. And it was just stupid because it was like a good gig, you know? I just was like, I started feeling like just hell. Like, I couldn't even describe it. The only way I could justify it in my mind was that I was dying. I was like, I've never felt like this before. No matter what I do, I can't feel better. Like, I was, you know, in the beginning, I was kind of like, oh, fuck, maybe I'm like sitting weird, you know? Maybe that's what's doing this. Maybe that's what's causing this feeling of impending doom as I'm sitting weird. So I'm like adjusting myself, and then I'm like, fuck, I think I didn't get to go. We were in an SUV, so I was like, I think I got to go to the back row and just lie down. And Kelsey was like, why? And I was like, I feel really weird. Like, I feel like kind of sick. I can't really describe it. So I go and I lie down. And I just felt like everything was closing in on me, and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, I'm definitely having a heart attack. This is the only thing this could be, is that I'm dying. So we have to go to the hospital. And she was like, really? And I was like, we have to go to the hospital. Like, I'm fucked up. Like, this is it. Say my goodbyes. I'm leaving this earth. And so we get to the hospital, and we talk to the lady at the front desk, and I'm just like walking around the waiting room of the ER, just pacing, like thinking that I'm just going to drop dead at any moment. And then, you know, they finally got us in. They did an EKG and everything. I was totally fine. The doctor was like, yep, it's your first panic attack. And I was like, what? That's what this is all about? Holy hell. I have a whole new respect for people that talk about anxiety and panic attacks. And like, I didn't know this. I didn't know you could feel like this.
Yeah. it's crazy because so many people on this podcast, I feel like the first time that they have any sort of like realization about their mental health is when it gets to like a panic attack level. And then they're like, oh shit, like this is what all these feelings were. But like, I didn't even realize. So what did that mean after that? Like, you were shocked, but like, what did that actually mean over the next couple of weeks and months?
It's like when you learn a new word and then all of a sudden you start seeing that word everywhere. Yeah. It's like you learn a new feeling and then all of a sudden your brain is like, oh, okay, you're going to feel this all the time now. So it was just like, you know, it was like a couple weeks of like trying to absorb what the fuck happened, but also still feeling those feelings and feeling the start of it and trying to combat it, and then learning about like techniques to curb an anxiety attack, you know, like grounding and all that stuff. And then it just like kept happening. Like it would happen when I was on the 405. Like I would be in my car or in an Uber, and I couldn't do that for a while. I couldn't get in an Uber and go on the 405 because I would have a panic attack. I was like conditioned to then recognize that environment as like my fight or flight reflex turned on, you know? It's weird. Ever since then, it's kind of just been this thing that I'm dealing with. And obviously, again, like the alcohol just does not help with that, because you think it does, you curb it. You know, if I was ever feeling anxiety or the start of, you know, a panic thing or whatever, guaranteed the most effective thing is alcohol. It's like two drinks and I would not no longer feel that. I just would forget about it, you know? But again, like you just do that enough and it just delays it.
Yeah, what was like the path from like 28 to now? And like obviously like everyone deals with their mental health in like different ways and like has different levels of like first experiencing something, but like since then, right? Like you went years still drinking alcohol and like not really doing anything, and then like where did something change then?
You know, everything is ebbs and flows. And so obviously the past few years, like there have been good times, there have been worse times. There's times where my anxiety doesn't really affect me that much. There's times where I'm thinking about it every single day. But I think like I felt really, really good again in the past 2 months, probably. Just because finally, you know, I'd been going to my therapist talking about these things that I was thinking. I was like, you know, I really want to try and be sober for a while. I want to see how that affects my life. I've never been able to do it. So I'd like to try it and just see, but I can't. Like, I'm finding it too hard. I can't do it. You know, I've been sober for longer than a week in like 10 years. And so she helped me, and Kelsey definitely helped me realize that I could do it. And so now it's been like almost 10 weeks, which is awesome. I was able to, like, you know, once you don't have that sort of habit eating up time, but also affecting the way you feel in the mornings and your sleep and all that, it's really easy to dedicate yourself to training and to actually see progress again and find motivation because you're seeing progress in your body and your times and the way you're training and the way work is going, everything. So I'm feeling like really optimistic again. And, you know, I don't know if I'll continue being sober in the future. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of the way I trick my brain into like doing it forever. It's just being like, I don't know. I might start again in the future. But for right now, it's fucking great. And I never thought that I'd be able to like go to a wedding, for example, and not have a drink. And I did that a couple weeks ago for my sister's wedding, and it was amazing. I had a blast, and Kelsey's been nothing but supportive. And I feel like I'm able to really, like, our relationship is better. You know, we're planning a wedding, and all that stuff has been better. It's been less of, it just feels like I feel excited again, you know, which is great.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, congrats, first of all. And I feel like it's a good time for you to be on the show, because I think, you know, we talk about alcohol, we talk about different addictions so much on the show, like Mason, who's my co-host. He's just out of town today. He's been sober for 4 years now and struggled like his whole life with a bunch of different substances, you know, relationships, like all these sort of addictions that until you really like look at yourself and like really like give yourself time to like try to unwind them, like it really eats at you. And like you said, you can't make progress in that time. And everyone thinks it's just like a problem that they have, you know, and it's like everyone struggles with like different kinds of addictions, and just like sharing that and like your eyes being open to like what's possible, I feel like is super helpful for people. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is that, you know, it's not a solution to everything. Like, I think an important thing that I'm learning right now is,
it doesn't fix everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you're sober for 2 weeks, you have this like euphoric, like, holy fuck, everything in my life is fixed. I feel fucking incredible. I'm sleeping every night, and you feel amazing, right? But then that fades and you feel the same. You kind of feel the same as you did before, right? The change is everything, A, is more consistent. You can rely on yourself for stuff, finally, you know? It's like I can rely on myself to wake up and feel the way I want to feel and go out for a run and not skip things and not skip plans because I'm hungover or whatever. You like, you actually show up for yourself, which is a huge change. It's not obvious, but it is huge, because you feel, I'm finally feeling like confident in myself again. Like, I like myself. The second thing is that I'm more aware, right? So I can live with my anxiety, but I can also be super conscious of it and what helps it, what hurts it. I think when you have a crutch like alcohol or drugs, like, you lean on that so heavily that it blinds you to everything else that is exacerbating your symptoms, right? So like, now that I don't have that piece, it's like I'm really learning like what, like when I feel it, like what is affecting me right now. It's like social stuff. I feel fine when I'm in here working on stuff. But as soon as I go to dinner with even my best friends, I fucking am overanalyzing everything I'm saying. I'm like, am I being funny? Do they like me? Stupid, right? But normally in that scenario, I'd have a couple drinks and that would go away. But then it would just come back later, right? I wasn't actually facing it. And now I'm like thinking about it. I'm able to think about it, which is not only, or not always pleasant, but it is comforting in the sense that it feels like I'm making progress finally and not just...
Yeah.
And not just like delaying it and ignoring it, you know?
So I started therapy like 2 years ago, and I've been going every week. And, you know, I never had any like huge moment that like felt like, you know, I need to start right away. And so I started when I found like someone I like. But I feel like for me, the biggest thing has been like, I'm really good at just like being like driven, type A, like forget about all the issues and like, let's just keep moving forward. But I think like that's good in some ways and also bad, because you're same thing with alcohol. It's like, it's very easy to like drink and not deal with that weird feeling that you have. But the only way to like process that is to actually like move closer towards it and be like, put yourself in that situation. Like, why am I feeling this way? And like, what can I learn from it? You know, like, why am I worried that like my friends think I'm like not funny or like all of these things? And like, really learn about yourself that way. And obviously, like with alcohol, with drugs, you can't do that because it just numbs that out, which is good in the short term and terrible long term.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then also like the thing you said, it's like, it doesn't fix everything, but it allows you to improve in any area you want in your life without it, you know, and before.
Yes. Yes.
Before you make that change, it's like, you're just stuck, you know, you can stay at your baseline, but like, you know, you can't work on your relationships. You can't work on like your feeling of security about yourself and like, you know, belief in yourself. You can't work on goals. You can't work on the future. And so I think the biggest thing for me is like, I went to school at Michigan, really like drank a lot there, you know, and then coming out of it, I was just like, damn, like that, first of all, like it's insane how much we drank in college, but also like, why am I doing that? You know, every time I go out and all these sort of things. And now,
yeah. And why did I continue it for 10 years after?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, I got lucky, 'cause I was like, a year or two after, I was just like, okay, like that was really fun, whatever. But like, it was easier for me to just like let go from that and like, you know, move on to like other things in my life. But I think, you know, like Mason had like the opposite challenge where like we started this company, it's going really well, but like he still doesn't feel good and he's still drinking so much, doing drugs, like having relationship issues. And it's like, not really until you face it and you hit this like rock bottom that you could like build back up from it. And I feel like you're on your way there.
Yeah. I want to like, I'm really careful to not fall into the trap of feeling euphoric, and because I want this to be a lifestyle. I don't want this to be another, you know, flow in the ebb and flow cycle. I don't want to like feel great and then I'm like, well, I did it. I feel good again. Let's go back to the old habits. You know, I'm really careful to talk about progress and to pat myself on the back, because it's like, I want this to just be a lifestyle. And if that's the case, then it shouldn't be something that you feel is an achievement, right? So it's like a tricky thing for me to like sit there and talk about and think about, because I don't want to slip, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing also. It's like, you don't want it to be like, you don't want to be like too high or too low. You know, you kind of just want to be at like a good balance most of the time. And yeah. I feel like anytime you're chasing something that's like, damn, that one feeling when I was like sober for 2 weeks and like that week was the best week ever, like that's like just as bad as like the lows you were feeling before, you know?
Yeah, totally. This all goes hand in hand with turning 30 and being in your 30s, because it's a lot harder to find balance. Like this problem of not being able to show up for yourself becomes so obvious, because hangovers get worse, the drinking gets worse, right? Everything is like becomes more extreme. It affects you way more. Like back when I was 25, you know, whatever, I could sign up for a half marathon and train for it and still go out every single night.
Yeah.
And wake up hungover and do a 10-mile run. Like it was fine. I could just do that, right? So I was like, oh, this isn't a problem, because I'm still making progress towards my goals. And, you know, it's like you're way more blind to the fact of how it's affecting you, because it's really not as affecting you as much. And then it's a slippery slope, right? So not only do things snowball a little bit in terms of like, oh, your habits get a little bit worse and a little bit worse, but you don't really realize it.
Yeah.
But they also start to affect you more. So, and then that becomes a thing. Your hangovers get worse, so you drink more and earlier to stop your hangover, yeah. You know? And so everything just becomes so obvious and more extreme when you're older.
Yeah. And it's like, you have this resilience when you're young, you know, with anything, working out, like you're never sore, like eating whatever you want, you never feel it. And I think like mental health is part of that, even though we don't really realize, you know, like I grew up and like, yeah, I was like insecure about different things, whatever, but like, I was never like, oh, I'm so down today. And I feel really lucky to like have had that childhood. But now I'm like, damn, like I didn't like, how did I not feel anything? And I feel all these things now, you know? And it's such a funny difference. And yeah, you just have to like grow up and actually like deal with it and work on it, just like you do your physical health, right? You can't just go on a 10-mile run and then hope that your mental health is all good by doing nothing, you know? And I think people do it different ways, you know? Like we always say, like, not everyone needs to go to therapy. Not everyone needs to meditate, not, you know, but there are things now that are more and more clear that like you should try to experiment and see what works for you. And I think that's like just like the biggest thing we stress when we're talking about it. For you now, like you said, like, you know, these past few months have been feeling good, but like obviously like there's always going to be times where like things feel more challenging and like, you know, you're going into like trying to figure out what you want to do next. Like, how are you thinking about that? You know, like, it's challenging to go into something new and then like feel good about it and like feel good. And like, how are you hoping to like balance that out while still like taking care of yourself and making sure that like you as a human, as like Cody, are good?
I think I just got to keep showing up for myself. You know, I feel like that's the most, and showing up for my relationship too, for Kelsey. I think that's the most important thing. Like, that's giving me a lot of happiness right now, is just simple shit. You know, waking up at the same time every morning.
Yeah.
That for some reason feels like a huge thing for me. I'm proud of that. You know, I wake up the same time every single morning and I feel great.
What time is that?
I mean, it's like 6:45. I'm a morning person. So like that's my time. You know, I love that, those hours of the day. I feel incredible when I wake up. I get pretty depressed in the evenings. I don't like anything past 4 p.m.
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, I feel like I'm in this like purgatory. But yeah, so yeah, just making sure I'm staying consistent, just seeing progress, yeah, you know, in my relationship, in work. And you know, right now I'm finding that's more, less about numbers and more about putting out stuff that I'm proud of. Again, like, that was part of the pandemic, was that like I was just doing the same old desk videos every single time, just pumping them out. And they were working, right? They're getting a lot of likes, getting a lot of views, making a lot of money. But all that is so quantitative that just starts to become the thing that your brain seeks, is the number and making sure the number goes up, you know? And right now I'm kind of reprioritizing and making sure that I'm starting to make stuff that I actually like again and that I feel proud of. There was this one video I made long time ago, like years ago when I first started YouTube, called the 15K, I think, or the 10K or something. And I remember I had this stupid idea. My friends and I signed up for this 15K and we were going to run it. And I was like, I feel like I want to make a video about this where I narrate the whole thing, like where we narrate the whole thing of our inner monologues, kind of like anime style. I don't know why I wanted to do this, but I had this, I know this is going to be funny. And I made it and we thought it was hilarious and we put it out and it ate shit numbers wise. Didn't do that well. Didn't get that many likes, didn't get that many views, right? So I felt like kind of like shit about it. Because I was like, fuck, I really thought this idea would be great and we love it so much, so why don't other people like it? But still to this day, I have people that come up to me and they're like, I love that video that you did, that one specific video. And I'm like, fuck, that means so much to me, but it's also a sign that like, if you're proud of something you put out, that,
yeah,
people see that. Subconsciously, mm-hmm, they know it. They know it. They're like, this is a weird fucking idea that only this guy could have had. And he felt confident enough in it to film it, shoot it, edit, yeah, it, and put it out. You know? And I find that really funny. And so I'm going to tell this guy 6 years later, 7 years later, or whatever, that I find it funny. Because it impacted me so much. And that, like, I don't know. Like, that, I think about that a lot right now as I'm thinking about what other videos I'm going to make for my channel right now. It's like, I want to put out shit that, you know, I can look back in 3 years and be like, fuck, that was such a crazy, stupid idea. Like, who were you back then? That's hilarious that you put that out. Not like, oh, you put that out because that was working, and so you just kept doubled down on whatever that was, which is, yeah, an important part of this job. You have to do that. If you're making content and something's working, you have to lean into that. I'm not a pure artist, yeah, You know, I am a numbers guy. I'm a software engineer. That's my past. So that's what I respond to. But I'm making sure to like respect the other half of my brain and give it space and time and respect so that I can look back and be like, fuck, that was crazy. I can't believe you made that video. It's so weird. But I respect it, you know?
And have you been talking like through your content about any of your like experiences with mental health and any of that stuff yet, or not really yet?
No. I'm starting something new pretty soon. I think it'll be like, yeah, it'll be like more of a medium where I can talk about this stuff and my own life. And I don't know. I try to avoid talking about it because I don't want to be like embarrassed if I fall back into my own habits, you know. It's probably a bad way of looking at it, but like to come on here and be like, I'm 10 weeks sober, and then all of a sudden fuck that up and then be like, fuck, now I look like an idiot, you know. I don't know. I prefer to deal with this stuff with my therapist and with Kelsey and with my family. And but I also think it is important to talk about it because there are people that really like my stuff that might be going through something similar. Like I remember there's one of my friends, his name is Nick Coletti. He used to be a Viner. I'm a big fan of his, always have been. I love his style of comedy. I love everything he does, pretty much. I mean, I do. I love everything he does. And
pretty much.
That was a weird thing to say. Except for that one video that he did that one time. I didn't fuck with that. And I saw him on a podcast recently. He moved back home. Like, I don't know how long ago, but he used to live in LA and then he moved back home. And I kind of wondered why he did that. And then I saw a podcast with him where he was kind of opening up like this. And he was talking about how he had problems with alcohol and how he moved. He hated it here in LA and it just didn't feel like him. So he moved back home and kind of figured out how to, you know, be happy again. And I found that as a fan of him, I found that really inspiring, especially for someone like me who was going through the same exact thing. It felt so therapeutic just to hear someone else say it. You know, he's so similar to me. He makes videos. He came from Vine and he was living here and he kind of fell into the same bad habits that I did. And it was so nice to hear him say, I was like, fuck, someone else is going through the same shit. I know other people do, but it felt, as a fan of him, it felt really cool to hear him say that. And it helped me a lot because I was like, oh, fuck, like, you know. It just made me think. And so I think if anyone feels that way about me, they like watching my stuff, that it probably helps to hear me talk about these things every now and then. But I'd rather, in terms of my videos, like my main goal is to just put shit out that make people laugh. So,
yeah, maybe a few podcasts you could talk about it. I feel like it does help people. And like no one's watching you and being like, oh, like I saw him drink, like he fucked up, you know, like
we thought you were sober. What the fuck is that?
Love that, man. Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate you sharing it here because it seems like you haven't shared much stuff on other stuff yet. And I feel like for us,
well, that's why I wanted to do this. Sorry to interrupt, but when I got this, I think my PR or something like that, or I forget. We texted, right? Because Arjun put us in touch. Yeah, when you guys were like, it's a podcast about, you know, mental health, I was like, I would like, there is some stuff I'd like to unpack, so.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, it kind of is a therapy session in itself, so this would be nice. I would like to talk about mental health with someone.
Yeah, that is what we hear. It's so funny because, like, so many people for the first time talk about anything, like, publicly, which we feel like is also just, like, feels good to talk about. So it's a win-win, hopefully. But, yeah, the last two questions we ask everyone, so I appreciate you coming on, is, like you just said, like, one person, if you could nominate them to talk about their story and, you know, that you've really learned from or you've appreciated or, you know, inspired by, who would it be? Maybe it's the guy you were just talking about.
Damn, that's a good question. Who am I inspired by right now? I'm going to have to – I don't have an answer for that right now.
It's all good. You'll come back to us on that one. And the last question is, Cody, what makes you mad happy?
Hey, by the way, check it out.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if you saw that, but I got the hat on. I almost wore this shirt, too, because it's one of my favorite shirts, like this super thick, like boxy, mad happy shirt. I almost wore that. I was like, what are you? That's going to be way too much. What are you doing?
That was just you. Coming, like, you were in your own head.
Full head.
You were like, I can't
wear
both.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was my anxiety. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? It would be funny though if I came like in a just head to toe, just so eager. Love the brand, dude. Love being on the podcast. I do love your brand though, by the way. Love it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
What makes me mad? What makes me mad happy? You know, it's this morning. You know what? You know what it is actually recently? We got two cats. We fostered them and then we adopted them, of course, because they're the fucking best. And I never was a cat person before. We have a dog as well, and he's also an angel. And so now we got three animals, and it's a joy. It's an absolute joy. I always thought, you know, animals are just like a chore. That's how I always classified them, pets at least. I was like, it's just chores. There's shit you have to do that's going to take time away from shit you like doing. But I love caring for these animals, and I love, like, walking downstairs and seeing Kelsey and the dog and the two cats. It just makes me happy.
Yeah, love that. Well, thanks so much, Cody. Really, really appreciate you coming on. It's great to meet officially, you know, face-to-face over Riverside. And thanks for sharing your story. We're excited for it to come out, and just keep doing what you're doing, and it'll all work out.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. This felt really good. It's fun to talk about this stuff.
Post that workout, hopefully it was good, you know? You got the physical and the mental exercise today, so.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm going to go sleep for 5 hours.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Talk soon, everyone. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. As always, please, please leave us 5 stars on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please share. Please ask us any questions you have for us, for other guests, and we'll get them answered. And yeah, that's it. We'll see you guys next week. Talk soon.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.